I want to discuss a certain nakuza about Yom Kippur. But before I do that, I just want to chazer over a correction of a misconception. That you can't not go into Yom Kippur without correcting this misconception. And it's a misconception that probably crept into our consciousness from other cultures. And that is that going into Yom Kippur, we have this type of relationship with Hashem, that He's going to pick through our actions, find the stuff He doesn't like, and go in for the kill. And everything in the davening, and everything in the psukim and navi, and everything in Divrei Chazal say exactly the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Reitze b'Teshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do Teshuva. He wants us back. We say in the Nesana Taikif, Ad Yoy Moisei Techakev, until a person's death, Hashem waits for him. Im Yashuv, if he returns, Miyat Tekabloi, immediately he accepts him. There's not a king in the world like that. Ad Yoy Moisei, Hashem will wait 80 years, 90 years. And then Im Yashuv, Miyat Tekabloi, immediately. That's a different perception. We say it, but in our minds we're imagining this angry king, you know, just waiting to send the lightning bolts down. It's a misconception. In my mind, I once heard a story that to me is a mashal of the right approach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's feeling about our tshuva. I read this story a few months ago. About a yid that was on a train. And next to him, on the train, was sitting this young fellow in his early 20s. And he looked very, very disheveled and upset, and he was fidgeting, and he wasn't himself. And he struck up a conversation with him, and as happens sometimes, this young man felt like he can unburden himself to this total stranger. And he started to tell him his story. And his story was that when he was a teenager, he was a whiz at computers and gadgets, and he started to make a lot of money. It was in the 90s, and everyone was making money, and he joined in and started making a tremendous amount of money. And in the process, he rebelled against his family, against his parents, and he left home. He ran away from home, settled down in the luxurious building in Manhattan, in the heart of Manhattan, married, had a child, and was living the life of the elites of Manhattan. He had everything. The man who had everything. As time went on, and life did what it does sometimes, his fortunes changed. He lost his money. He was evicted from his condominium. His wife left him, and he was left on the streets, penniless and alone. And he realized that after all else fails, he needs his parents. He needs to go back home. So he sent him a letter. He wrote a letter to his parents. He sends a letter and he says like this, I need to come home. I need you now. But I don't know if you want me. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get on a train and I'm going to take the train to our house. And when the train gets up to the stop, that stop is the stop that I'm supposed to get out to come home, I'm going to check. There's a big oak tree right next to the train station. I'm going to look at that tree. And if there's a white flag, if there's a white cloth hanging from the tree, I'll know that you want me to come home. And if I don't see anything on the tree, I'm not getting off the train. And he tells this man, I'm now on that train ride, and I'm in a few stops is my stop, and I'm going to see if my parents want me back. And as he got closer and closer, he started to get more and more nervous and uptight, and he was fidgeting, and he got closer. It was two stops before. Finally, he shut his eyes. And he told the man, he said, do me a favor, you look out the window. I can't even look. I don't even want to know. I don't even want to, you know, I don't want to see that tree there. So he shuts his eyes tight and he's waiting holding his breath as they get closer to the stop. And he asks this new friend of his, he says, what do you see out the window? And the friend says, there's not one white cloth hanging from the tree. The entire tree is covered with white sheets. That's the Ribbono Shel Olam on Yom Kippur. That's how the Ribbono Shel Olam feels Yom Kippur. We ask Hashem, give us a little sign, a little something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is screaming to us. Haroitzev is Shuvah. Im Yashav Miyata Kabbalah. He's wrapping the tree with white sheets. He wants us back. He's a Rebbein Shalom that wants us back, like a father wants to give his son that hug after he punished him. That's the Mahalach to go into Yom Kippur. Now we can start talking about Yom Kippur, but with the misconceptions of the angry God and the punishing God, these type of misconceptions, it's impossible to have a healthy Yom Kippur. We have to look at the Rebbein Shalom as an Av HaRachamon who wants us back. The biggest question that's asked this time of year, and maybe the most frustrating question that people struggle with, is not how to do tshuva on Yom Kippur, but how to make the tshuva of Yom Kippur last. This is maybe the biggest frustration that people have, especially as we get older and we have Yom Kippur after Yom Kippur after Yom Kippur. It's like, oh, it's another Yom Kippur. And we start to get this feeling like we're going through the motions. So I want to suggest a Mahalach that could at least direct us on the road to being able to make the changes of Yom Kippur permanent. Yom Kippur, the Sfarim tell us, the Chazal tell us, is a very, 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 very powerful day. It's a very powerful day, and it's a very, very holy day. It's so powerful, and it's so heilig, that the Gemara says that Itzuma Yishal Yom is Mechaper. The day itself is Mechaper. The day itself causes an atonement, causes a kapara. There's even a sheet in the Gemara that says, we don't pass in this way, but there's a sheet in the Gemara that says that Yom Kippur could be Mechaper without Tshuva. That's how powerful the holiness of Yom Kippur is. That the Afilu Belicha Rabbi Yossi holds, even without Tshuva, Yom Kippur is Mechaper. Except for certain Averis. We hold that you need tshuva, but even though we say you need tshuva, the tshuva is just a prerequisite to allow the power of Yom Kippur to be let loose on us. But Yom Kippur is the essence of the day is very, very powerful. Just to give some example of the Madrega that we're on in Yom Kippur, I'm going to quote from something Rav Volba writes, and it's something that he seems to have had some knowledge about. We don't, but I'm just going to say over what he says. We always think that we have a body and a soul, a guf and a neshama. But the Sfarim tell us that the neshama is really comprised of many different parts, each part on a different madrega. So, for example, the Nefesh HaChayim tells us that the neshama is made up of three parts. A person has a nefesh, a ruach, and a neshama. Three different madregas of his neshama. And Rav Volba says it's not coincidental that we therefore daven three times a day, Shachris, Ma'ariv, Shachris, and Mincha, because there's three levels of Aliyah within us every single day. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. But the truth is that the Sfarim tells that there are another two parts of the Neshama that we hardly talk about. And that is, there's Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, and above that is two other parts of the neshama called Chaya and Yechida. And those are tremendously holy, tremendously high parts of our neshama that are completely attached to Hashem. When we say there's a pintel yid, when we say there's a part of a yid that remains no matter what attached to Hashem, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about that part of our neshama. When we say Musaf on Shabbos and Yontif, we daven four Shmoneh Esres. Because we're able to attach ourselves, we're able to relate, we're able to feel the presence of an even higher level of our neshama, the Chaya. There's one day a year that we say five Shmoneh Esres. And because we're able to relate to our neshama on all of its levels and on all of its madregas. And that's Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur we have Ma'ariv, Shachris, Mincha, Ma'ariv, Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, and Ne'ilah. Five Shmoneh Esreis. Five Shmoneh Esreis, Rav Volba says, represents that we're able to touch our neshama on all five of its levels. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. Without knowing what that means, and we don't know what that means, but we see that Yom Kippur is a day that the purest, holiest parts of our neshama are accessible to us. We can feel them. We can identify with them. And that's a tremendous opportunity. The goal, I think, on Yom Kippur, is to take that opportunity. It's a one-day-a-year opportunity. It's a one-time thing that we have this tremendous opening of our hearts, that we're able to touch deeper inside of ourselves, and to do something that day, that when our heart closes again, Be'es Ne'ilas Shar, when the Sha'arim close, that we can still have something to take with us that will last through the year. And that's a difficult thing, and it's a challenge that I think most people struggle very, very much with. That we can we can do Yom Kippur right, but it's very, very hard to wake up the morning after Yom Kippur with something different. But that's where the key is, I think, and that's why I want to discuss something that we could do on Yom Kippur and leading up to Yom Kippur while our hearts are open, that can maybe affect us and have an aftertaste, a pleasant aftertaste after Yom Kippur. The Alter von Kelm has a letter, a short letter that's an unbelievable letter in its simplicity and in its truth. He writes, "Bebayis Eifel Hayisi, I was in a dark house, and I lit a candle, and I had tremendous enjoyment from this candle, and now I was able to see. And then someone came over and opened the doors and the windows, and the sunlight came streaming in." Now what happens to the candle then? He says, "Miyad, immediately, Haya Hanera Alai Lamasa, the candle became a burden. What do I need this candle for? Can someone take this from me? The room is lit up." The Alter says that's what happens to a person in his relationship with physical pleasures when he discovers spiritual pleasures. The spiritual pleasures are so much more magnificent that his physical pleasures become a masa. And imagine how silly we are that we look at Talmidei Chachamim and Tzaddikim that deprive themselves of the physical world because of their involvement in the spiritual world, and we feel bad for them. They're deprived. They're not deprived. We're deprived. We're deprived. We're in the dark house, and we're getting hana from a candle. But these people that have learned what real pleasure is, they're being close to Hashem, that's what's good. So these people, they threw the candle out. The windows are open. The doors are open. The sunlight is streaming in. This is very, very hard to feel the whole year. But the Yom Kippur, we spend the whole day saying, "Al chet shechatanu lefanecha, Hashem, I want to be in front of you." We say, "Sarnu mimitzvaysecha umimishpatecha, Hashem, we've turned away from your mitzvahs. I've turned away. V'loy shavalanu, and it wasn't worth it for us. I'm not happier now. Loy shavalanu." This is the secret. This is the secret, and this is the power of Yom Kippur for the future. There are many things in our life that many people feel are pashut impossible to change. Things that we don't like about ourselves, that we pashut feel like we're up a brick wall, we've been trying to change for years, they're impossible to change. But sometimes it's because we're fighting the battle on the surface. The Nisayan, and we battle it. The Nisayan comes and we battle it. The Nisayan comes and then we battle it. And sometimes we win the battle and sometimes we lose the battle. Either way, we end up scarred and injured. And we have to do that. We have to fight that battle. But if we can take a day like Yom Kippur, where we can touch the deepest parts of ourselves, and we can ingrain in ourselves that being close to Hashem, that's where I want to be. That's where I'll have true menucha. That's where I'm going to have simcha. The Chachmei HaNefesh, the Bali Musar, have taught us that a person is, no matter what, the person will be drawn to the place, that, and psychologists agree with this, a person will be drawn to the place that he feels like he'll have satisfaction and pleasure and menucha. It's not a decision. A person will be drawn to where he feels like his simcha lies, his happiness lies. That's where a person will be drawn. Without making any decisions, that's where a person will be led. I've seen in psychology books, I've seen these graphs, greater pain, greater pleasure. A person always gets drawn to the greater pleasure. That's the way a person was built. So if we can use our Yom Kippur to teach ourselves that Lifnei Hashem, that's greater pleasure. To ingrain in ourselves that the place that I want to be is Lifonecha. The place that I want to be is Lifnei Hashem, Lifnei Hashem Titaru. So it could be that that could help us after Yom Kippur, that we won't bump into those Nisyanis as often. Because we've allowed a concept to develop, to take root deep inside ourselves, that teaches us that being close to Hashem is not about deprivation. Being away from Hashem is about deprivation. We have to change our minds a little bit. The more involved in Ruchnias I am, it's not true that the more involved in Ruchnias I am, the more colorless and stale my life will be. The opposite is true. If I go into this twinkling, brightly colored world, that's where the deprivation is. And on the black and white pages of the Gemara, that's where true color and true pleasure lies. If we can teach that to ourselves on a deep level, again and again, Lefanecha, Lefanecha, Tavay Lefanecha Tfilaseinu, V'loy Shavlan, just focus on this, and it's such a positive way to go through Yom Kippur, that Gishmak and happiness and Menucha lies with serving Hashem. Just to teach that lesson to ourselves again and again, it could be that we can plant roots that without us even realizing it, the year will be drawn more towards Ruchnias. And once we're on the search itself is Simcha. That's what we said this morning in Hoidu, Yismach Lev Mevakshei Hashem. Once we're on the search for Hashem, once we're being drawn in that direction, we'll find the trip pleasureful. We'll find the journey a reason to rejoice. Yismach Lev Mevakshei Hashem. I had a big chizuk on Leil Shabbos. I looked into a pasuk that I'm embarrassed to admit. We say two times a day from the beginning of Elul until the end of Sukkot, and I had the slightest idea what it meant. The pasuk is this, in the middle of the David. Lecha amar libi, bakshu panai, es panecha Hashem avakish. What does that mean? Lecha amar libi, to you my heart says, bakshu panai, search for me. Espanecha Hashem Avakesh, Hashem, I'm searching for you. What does that mean? So I looked in the Mefarshim on Friday night, and I saw that the Pshat is so astounding and such a chizuk that I think it can carry us through Yom Kippur. Lecha Amar Libi, Rav Hirsch says this, and others, Lecha Amar Libi, about you, Lecha is not to you, it's about you, we tell Hashem. About you, my heart says, Bakshu Panai, search for me. So the Mefarshim say, deep in our heart, we hear the voice of Hashem telling us, search for me. We don't need a Navi on the outside saying, search for Hashem. We don't need to open a Sefer and see it, oh, I should search for Hashem. If we listen very carefully to what's going on in our own hearts, you know what our heart is saying? Our heart is a messenger from Hashem. And it's saying, Bakshu Panai, search for me. And that's an amazing thing. That's the pasuk. Loi bashamayim hi. Loi me'ever layam hi. This developing a desire to be lifnei Hashem, to be mevakish Hashem, bakshu panai, that panai is lifnei Hashem, to be in Hashem's presence. It's not far away. If we'll be able to shut out the distractions, if we can shut out all the things that, all our nesiyonos, if we can spend that day where we're in touch with our chaya and yechida, and focus on what we really want in our own heart, deep inside ourselves, we're going to hear bakshu panai. We're going to discover that that's what we want. And David says, Espanecha Hashem Avakish, I'm going to listen to my heart. Hashem, I'm searching for you. And that's what the pasuk over there continues. Loi bashamayim hi leimor, mi yale lanu hashamayim, loi me'ever layam hi leimor, mi yavar lanu asiyam. It's not in the shamayim, it's not across the ocean. Ki koroi ve'lecha hadover ma'oid. It's very, very close to you. Because it's libi, lecha omar libi, bakshupana, my own heart. My own heart has a desire for Hashem. We cover it, we coat it, we insulate it, we distract from it, we lose track of it. But that, we have that one day, Achas Bashana, the pasuk calls it, that one day a year, we can peel away layer after layer of insulation and armor that surrounds our heart, and we can listen, what is my heart saying? And we're going to hear, Bakshu Panai, Hashem is talking through us. We're going to hear that our own heart wants to search for Hashem. I think that that's a mahalach that we could take into Yom Kippur. We want something that will last after Yom Kippur. Maybe it's not so much the individual Kabbalas which are chash of a thing, individual Kabbalahs, or the decision, I'm going to fight my Yetzer Hara even harder this time. Maybe we need to trick our Yetzer Hara. We need to go in a little deeper. And we need to teach ourselves that pleasure lies in being Lifnei Hashem.